I'd like to welcome you all to the BRLC business meeting. So we want to get started right away. I'm sorry for the delay, but what happened was somebody left us off her schedule. So the luncheon was the only thing that was scheduled on her schedule, so I had to go and round her up, and she raced over here and got everything settled. Yes. Oh, Roger's praising me for my administrative work, so thank you. Okay, what I'd like to do is go, first of all, we're going to start the head table, and we're going to make introductions so we know who's here. And I will start to my right with our vice president. Here's the mic.
Hello, it's Roger Peterson, vice president from Mountain View, Silicon Valley Council of the Blind.
Okay, we're going to start here because there's nobody to the right. So.
Hello, I'm John Ross, treasurer, Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind.
I am Mike Keithley. I'm the recording secretary here. I'm the president of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind.
Rob Turner, recording secretary.
He meant corresponding. He just wants Rob's job.
He can have it.
Same here. Okay. Okay, now we'd like to start with the people in the audience. Just tell us who you are and what chapter you're from.
Katrina McCurdy from Alameda County,
Florida. Hi, Katrina.
Hi. Steve Ford, baby chapter.
Hi, Steve.
Janine Holtz from the Fresno Central Valley chapter.
Janine Holtz is our speaker for today.
San Francisco chapter.
Debbie Berry, Glendale Burbank.
Keith Johnson, Judy Witz.
Well, just tell us where you're from now.
And am I director one or director two? I can't remember.
Well, we'll get that situated. Don't worry. He's one of the board directors.
Yeah, I'm one of the board directors. And I'm from, I belong, my home chapter is the Glendale Burbank area chapter. My alternate chapter is the San Diego Valley chapter.
Well, aren't you so?
Okay.
Linda Porrell, San Francisco chapter.
Okay.
Eric Skivers, Bayview chapter.
Hi.
Kathy Skivers, Bayview chapter.
Daryl Skivers, Bayview chapter.
Okay.
Don Roberts, Chico, Butte County.
Hi, Rob.
Roberts, Butte County.
Hi. Okay. We're glad to have everybody here. What I want to do first is we're going to collect for the Braille Challenge. The Braille Challenge is where people around the country take tests and for reading and spelling comprehension and speed. And then whoever scores the highest in those tests will go to Los Angeles, California in June, and they will pick a finalist. And there they will, you know, win cash or computers or whatever they have. And there's usually about 65 people that try out for this challenge. But what we do at BRLC is we need, there are, when a person is selected to go to Los Angeles, they need to have transportation. And because they're minors, it's from first grade to the 12th grade, they have to have an adult with them. So we collect so that we can help pay for someone's transportation to go to Los Angeles. So no contribution is too large or too small. So give what you can. And John, you're going to collect?
I am.
Okay. John Ross, our treasurer, is going to come around and collect for the Braille Challenge now. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Didn't Oh, okay. I'm the president of BRLC. I'm just one of the gang. Okay, thanks, Gabby.
I think I have been called to a special meeting at 10, so when I leave, it's not because I don't care about all of you in this group, but when certain people tell you to be there, way up there, I go there.
I appreciate that, Kathy. So there's no problem at all.
If anybody missed the board meeting last night, which one should be 10 to 12 o'clock?
Yeah, it lasted like it got out about 10 minutes early, didn't it?
Yeah, we should set a record.
Yeah.
We go to quarter after. Last night we got done before 10.
Yes, we did. I was there.
But I hope we did your report that Lynn Larry.
I will. I'm going to talk about that. Okay. The first item on our agenda is the reading of the minutes by Rob. He's our recording secretary. You got a mic, Rob?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh. Okay. So this is the membership meeting minutes for spring 2009, Friday, April the 3rd. And President Marlene O'Neill called the meeting to order at 9:05 a.m. Attendees introduced themselves by name and chapter. 20 individuals were present. The minutes from the fall 2008 membership meeting were read and approved without correction. John Ross presented the treasurer's report. The beginning balance was $2,758.65. Expenditures included dues to BRLC and CCB. I'm sure there were more. The ending balance was $2,308.65. His report was accepted as read. Roger and Winifred reported that very little had been done concerning the update to our Constitution and bylaws. They will examine the new BRL, that's the Braille Revival League, Constitution to determine if it could meet our needs or at least serve as a model. Winifred apologized for errors that appeared in the Braille Writer newsletter. Several members praised her for including interesting articles, including Jill O'Connell's article on the late Pat Burns. No one complained about it being embossed on wider paper. John Ross will collect donations for the Braille Challenge contest during the meeting and at the Kahlua luncheon. Roger announced that BANA has agreed to examine the Nemeth Uniform Braille System. He also stated that BANA met at the CTEVH convention and presented their first annual Braille Excellence Award to Abraham Nemeth. President O'Neill asked for suggestions for our fall convention program. Roger's lighthearted suggested topic was, quote, "Is there Braille in Fresno?" And we're going to hear about that. Okay. The next item up for discussion was fundraising. The Treasury is dwindling. Our expenses are outpacing our income. Winifred presented the fundraising committee report on the proposed raffle. Cash prizes would be offered and tickets would be printed as cheaply as possible. each BRLC member would be asked to sell $50 worth of tickets. Five volunteers would monitor the distribution and sale of the ticket books. Kathy Skivers moved to accept the proposal. It was seconded by Connie Gill. The following individuals volunteered to act as monitors: Debbie Berry, Katrina McCurdy, Marlene O'Neill, Kathy Skivers, and Rob Turner. The membership expressed concern about the effort required and the difficulty of distributing and selling tickets without sighted assistance. President O'Neill volunteered to donate $75 toward the purchase of perforated tickets to make it easier to tear off the stubs. Each book will have five tickets. The motion carried. Rob moved and Kathy seconded a motion to set first prize at $100 and second and third prizes at $50 each. The motion passed. Winifred moved that President O'Neill be given a stipend of $300 to serve as our delegate at the BRL meeting at the ACB National Convention. John seconded the motion, and it was carried. The collection amount for the Braille Challenge contest at the end of the meeting was $225.60. The business meeting was adjourned at 10:10 a.m. Roger introduced Mike Keithley, who is president of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind and editor of the Blind Californian. Mike explained that Braille is really the only effective medium for communicating with those who are both blind and hearing impaired. Speech is often not an effective means of communication for those with hearing impairments because even small amounts of noise can render it unintelligible. And respectfully submitted, Rob Turner.
Will the minutes be accepted as read?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion. It's been seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
John, you're on. John is our treasurer, John Ross, and he will read the report, judge's report.
That I will. Okay, BRLC Treasurer's Report for fall of 2009. Beginning balance was $2,308.65. Total income was $1,459. Total expenses were $1,155.76. The raffle that we had, the income was a total of $1,248. And as far as the cost of the raffle, we didn't have to pay for anything out of the treasury. Because according to Winifred, all the monitors afforded their own postage, and as far and for the tickets, the tickets were were free were donated, and I took care of the printing. So the only thing that we will pay out is the prize money for the raffle, for the drawing for the first, second, and third place. And ending balance is $2,872.65. Thank you.
Okay. Entertain a motion to accept the reporter's.
So moved.
Okay. Who did that?
Keith.
Keith. Any seconds?
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried. Okay.
Madam President, I sure we want to thank John and Rob for the hard work. I know John had an awful lot of work to do on this.
Well, the one that that really took took the reins, and she isn't here, is a Winifred. You know, I had it not, and for her, we wouldn't have had it. You know, so you should really thank her. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Okay, and we'd like to thank all the monitors too.
Oh yeah,
because you know they did a really good job. I talked about the Braille challenge, another thing I want to talk about is I kind of was dozing last night. I'm sorry, Kathy, but during the meeting I fell asleep a little bit. So maybe you'll have to help me here. There's going to be an event in November, and I believe it's in Orange County.
It's a literacy conference.
Braille literacy conference. And we didn't know how we were going to send anybody because, you know, it costs so much money. Well, Lynn Laird whispered in someone's ear, Kathy, that she would be willing to go and pay for her hotel, and she'd be willing to go and man a table. So Lynn Laird, you know, she's the one who brails our Braille writer tirelessly. She gets it out so fast. So she is said she's willing to do it, and the board approved money to pay for her flight and her food. So I just wanted everybody to know that Lynn Laird has done it again. She's offered to do it. Okay. On the same vein, I'm going to talk about Winifred Downing sent me a resolution that was written by BRLC, and it has to do with the Matilda Ziegler. And I'm going to read it too, just so you'll know what's happening. Resolution, Matilda Ziegler, submitted by BRLC.
I'd like to point out here that it's Wynn wrote it, like Wynn and whoever else wrote it, with the intent that we would pass it here today and that it would be submitted by BRLC to CCB, right?
Yes. Yes.
Coming from resolutions, we've already read this and recommended a do pass. Gabe is going to call Winifred because she did say that she wanted to make a couple of changes in it, and that we're going to review it and tighten it up, and please let me know whatever changes you all want to make in it as well. But it's on the track.
So basically, we're just supporting it.
It's really
been submitted.
Winifred, you know.
I think the record, we need to hear it. So
yeah, I'm going to read
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. No. It shouldn't be.
I'm going to read it.
And if you want changes, too, I can bring those back.
Okay, I'm going to read this with one hand, so I'm going to try. Okay. Whereas for well over 100 years, the Matilda Ziegler magazine for the Blind has been distributed in the United States, being the first Braille magazine of its kind available 12 times each year and covering a wide variety of subjects. And whereas in the October issue, the editor mentioned, apparently with no appreciation of the impact of the announcement, that the November issue will be the last one printed in Braille. And whereas many elderly persons, individuals who have not, for different reasons, learned to use a computer, and the deafblind treasure the Braille issues they receive. And whereas just a few years ago, a former editor of the Ziegler wrote a never-to-be-forgotten biography of Louis Braille. And whereas any development toward the discouragement of the use of Braille is especially inappropriate for a traditional, for a periodical with Ziegler's proud tradition in this bicentennial of the birth of Louis Braille. And while there are very few Braille magazines with general interest articles, every organization of and for the blind has a website with blindness-related matters. Now, therefore, be it resolved with the California Council of the Blind, strongly urge those concerned with the publication of the Ziegler magazine to postpone the date for ceasing production of Braille issues, to make some study of the literary needs and preferences of blind persons, and be it further resolved that a report of the findings, along with an explanation for what changes seem appropriate, be made to major organizations of and for the blind. Okay. There's a motion on the floor to move its adoption. Kathy made the motions. Keith seconded it. Any discussion? Yes. Linda?
Just one change that was already suggested in the resolutions. Lena Bandy had talked to the editor of the magazine, who said that he was essentially just carrying out the will of the board by writing that letter, so that we want to sort of modify it to not blame the editor, you know, not to indicate that the editor's letter, you know, was at fault, but we're just going to modify that to indicate that.
Okay.
That. So that's the only...
Yes.
For those who may not be familiar with the Matilda Ziegler, in 1907, this lady died, and she left a trust so that we would have a magazine free for the blind, and it's been here since 1907. I haven't been reading it since then, but I did start reading it in the 30s, and it's one of the only magazines like it, I think. It has a wide range of things, including a forum where readers write in all the time. And I think this is a fine resolution, and it did say in the magazine that the board had done this. So I think that's an excellent change, and I think we should adopt that too. But I suggest that we just adopt this one, and then they'll deal with it in resolution, which they already have. Thanks.
Yes. Do you need a mic?
You should mention.
Get you on the mic.
Oh, microphone.
Yeah, I've got a wireless here.
Oh, great.
Yes, I
think that we should add in this resolution a sentence in the first, whereas the Matilda Ziegler has a worldwide distribution now. And I think that should be added, because the more likely people that are will be having difficulties with the loss of the Braille issue are the people in other countries. Thank you.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. Thank you, Mike. Okay, any more discussion on this before we move on? Okay. I think now we should... I'm going to. That's the... Okay. That's the next... Oh, we're going to have elections. We need to... Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped to the other thing, too. Sorry, you guys. Okay, we're going to vote on the motion, to adopt the resolution. Oh, God. I didn't have any coffee. Okay. All in favor... Oh, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, now we'll do the election. Okay.
Can I interrupt once more before we go to election?
Yes.
Because I'm going to have to
bring them. I know that every one of these meetings, a lot of you, like I do, terribly miss Joanne and Al Bigler. And today, I'm so happy to see the Roberts here from Chico. And I hope that when you go back, you'll give our love to them, and we thank you for coming and being here. It's wonderful to see Chico here.
That's great, and we give Alan, or give Joanne and Al our regards. We miss him. Okay, we need to do elections. There was a... a vacancy for corresponding secretary. Linda Perel did a wonderful job, but she felt she needed to resign because she had so many other commitments. And so we asked if Mike Keithley would do this, but there's we also have nominations for the floor. So we have Mike, who said he's willing to do it. So are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations?
Nominations be closed.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor that you close.
I move that Mike Keithley be... installed as corresponding secretary by acclamation.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You got it, Mike. We have another board member. Paul Borelli resigned. He said he couldn't do it anymore. And so we asked Katrina if she would be willing to be nominated, as she said she would. So are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor?
I hope that Katrina McCurdy be board member number one.
Okay.
Seconded.
Kathy seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You got it, Katrina. Okay. The next one, we have this, we left it hanging last year. It's the third term. Extended to a third term. There's been some concern that there hasn't been too many people who are willing to do the presidency, and so one of the options was to extend it to a third term. However, the board recommended, if you can help me with this, that we have a nominating committee, and if there are, you know, get a nominating committee and then get a slate of nominees for the president and vice president, because we term out in the spring. If there are people who want to be, who wish to be nominated, or, you know, if there are any nominations by the nominating committee, that would be great. And we will have the election as we usually do. But if there's nobody willing to do it, then we can, you know, extend it to a third term.
Madam President?
Yes.
Has our Constitution been changed?
No.
No.
Well, then we can't just automatically go to a third term, can we?
Well,
we don't know that nobody wants to run. We need to find out.
We need to find out if... See, what we're just trying to do is we're trying to keep it, you know, as like we, as traditional as possible, you know, like we did with the Constitution. That's what we're trying to do. But if there's no one willing to do that, then we go for a third term. But then we'll have to change the Constitution.
Yes, we will. So I think it's a good idea to have a nominating committee appointed to start looking for a president. I can't believe that in this organization there's not somebody willing to step up and be president.
Okay, well, what we're going to do, Kathy, that's what we're going to do. We're going to appoint a nominating committee. I'd rather have volunteers. I don't want to, if I have to appoint, I will, but we will appoint or not volunteer three people to get a slate for the president and vice president. And then if that, you know, if there's no nominees, then we're, no one wants to do it, then we'll have to change the Constitution and go on to a third term. So is there anybody willing to be a committee, nominating committee rep? Oh, my, okay, we got John Ross. Anybody else? We need two more.
Who? I'll do it. Keith Johnson.
One more.
I'll do it.
Okay, Linda. Now, you three will have to meet, and then you appoint a chair. And then when you have the election, Roger, I can't run the meeting, so there has to be the up to the chair to do that. So you'll have to get together and meet before the election in April. Okay?
Conference call.
Conference call. That would probably be the best thing.
Sure.
Yes.
I believe that the president and vice president are up in the spring.
Yes.
And then the secretaries and
in the fall.
Treasurer in the fall. Is that right?
Well, I checked.
Because my point is that if the treasurer is up,
okay,
and John wants to run, he can't be on the nominee committee.
The president. What I have here is I took quick notes. I got here the president and the treasurer and board one spring membership and even number of years. And then I've got the recording secretary and the corresponding secretary and board two shall be in the fall.
Well, if John is going to be a candidate for treasurer, he can't be the nominee.
He can't be the nominating committee.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, let me put it this way. It would be unseemly.
Hey. Is there anybody else who would like to? We need one more person. Kathy? Okay.
Kathy and Keith and who else? Linda?
Kathy, Keith, and Linda. Yeah. So.
Excuse me?
Yes.
I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind talking about what the responsibilities would be so that if any of us have a suggestion to give to the committee, that we would know what to tell the person the expectation
are. Well, the president, of course, will run the meeting, and if they need to conduct any board meetings, they will let the board know, and they will do it usually by conference calls. They have to nominate, or they appoint or ask for volunteers for the nominating committee. And what else? Did I forget anything?
The basic president and vice president.
The basic, you know, duties. Boards, the board members comprise of the president, vice president, secretary, recording secretary, corresponding secretary, treasurer, director one, director two. Director one is from, I think, Northern California. They try to do that. And the director two is Southern California. And we just meet to, you know, discuss business, and we have a board meeting on a Thursday night, usually the night before the convention, and if there's any extra need for a board meeting, then the president will get in touch with everybody, and if the, you know, or if the board wants to meet, or if someone has an issue that the board needs to talk about, then they'll get in touch with the president. The vice president takes over for the president if the president can't make it, or if they're late, or something, you know, to that means.
If they get lost in Pennsylvania.
And yeah, I didn't think I was gonna. I called my husband to see if I can come home this weekend because the Yankees won. He said I could come home. So that's what it's. And the corresponding secretary writes letters, thank you letters, letters that people that are recommended to be written by the board. The recording secretary takes the minutes and reads the minutes and gets them to the editor for the Braille Writer, who is Winifred Downing. That's our newsletter. And the treasurer takes care of all the money, which is a thankless job, and nobody I don't want to do it because I'm not good in math, but he does a wonderful job. So that's what we do as officers. Okay. Yes.
I just want to raise a little red flag and just to put a, you know, raise the possibility that if at this convention it should be decided on Sunday to move to a one convention format, then our constitution for BRLC will have to be modified accordingly. So I just want to sort of put that out there on the airways just in case.
Okay.
Another excuse for us not to work on it yet.
Yes, I was just going to say because it's on the agenda, and I was going to say that the Constitution and bylaws, but Roger and Winifred are still trying to work on it, but it's been slow going. But I know they'll do it when they really have to now, if they have to. Okay.
I have a comment.
Yes.
It looks to me like the way they're setting up for conventions for next year, that if they do vote to have one convention,
it'll be in 2011.
Probably won't happen until 2011. So okay. We have a little more time, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's good, because then we got some breathing room. Okay. I'd like to talk about two or more things. Fundraiser. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we've got other things, you know, a couple of things to do. How do you think the raffle went, and do you want to do it again, or in the fall, or how do people feel about it? What was their feeling about getting things done and all that?
Well, I had a really hard time as a monitor.
Someone bring the mic back to
I can record. I can repeat. Debbie was saying she had a very hard time as monitor.
You know, when I have to say, I think Winifred wrote the letter.
Yes, she did.
When I read it, I thought, I'm sorry I volunteered for this. Anyway, it was just very frustrating. People either didn't want to do it or they said, well, I'll try. And then calling them back and, oh, I lost them, you know, the tickets because of the time factor between when they were sent
and
well,
now.
I found it to be kind of thankless and a little frustrating. And I'm unfortunately the kind of person that I like things to work out the way they're supposed to or else. And I just found it to be really frustrating.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have to agree. I mean, I know in my case, I certainly didn't get, well, I mean, you know, it worked out, but it, in terms of the difficulty of it, it's not something I would want to volunteer for again.
Okay. Anybody else? The fundraiser was the raffle tickets, and what we did was we had books printed up, and there were $2 per book and per ticket. I'm sorry, and eight tickets per book. So and we had monitors, which were phone monitors. They were given a list of like eight people, and because there's about 40 of us in the group in the membership, and they were to call the members, and they were sent out books. Each member got some books, and then the monitors kept track to see if the people were able to sell them, and then send the checks and the ticket stubs back to John Ross, our treasurer. And that's what that was. And some people had a hard time because you had to rip off the stub and keep that part, send that part to John, and write on the other part what, you know, the phone number and the name of the person who the ticket was for the buyer. And some people had a hard time because they couldn't get readers. And so actually what I did was I browbeat my family to do it. So, but you don't want to do that all the time. And some people didn't want to do it. Some people lost their tickets. And I think the problem was that we did it in May or June, and then the convention was in October. So there was a lot of time. And people were kind of put it off. And
then they lost them.
Yeah, and they lost them. So what I want to do and see if people would object to this, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I think we should get a fundraising committee. I know John is part of it, and Wynn will do it. I'll ask her. And maybe one other person. Who's that?
Keith.
To look into another fundraiser, or if you're going to do raffles, to do something a little bit different if we're going to do it in the fall. To kind of fix, you know, to kind of revamp it or get something else that we would do. And then what we'll do is we'll have a board meeting and then discuss it, and then we can talk about it, you know, in the spring. So how does anybody have a feeling about that? Okay. Okay, I think is there anybody who would like to do a profile for someone for the next Braille writer goes out in February. The deadline is February 1st. That has to be sent in to Wynn. Any articles you wish to write, send to Winifred Downing. So would anybody like to profile just like an autobiography of how you know, just how you'd use Braille, how you got into it, how you use Braille, your education, you know, far about how you were taught. Does anybody would like to be profiled?
I'll do it. I haven't done it in a while.
Oh, Debbie wants to be you want to do a profiler? You
right.
Want to be,
I'll write the article.
Okay. Is there someone would like
who
to
wants
do?
To be?
Who wants to be profiled? Okay, who's that? Mike?
Oh. Mike, okay.
Okay, great. Okay.
You're going to be profiled.
Okay, for Mike. Mike, you're going to submit to Debbie.
You're
going to
All right, Mike, get ready.
Mike, what you're going to do is...
See, I'm going to interview you.
She's going to interview you about Braille and how you got into it. And you're
Debbie talking?
Yes. Okay. And she was going to do a profile about you. And that'll be interesting because you've done really good profiles on everybody else. And now we get to know about you. Yes.
Would you call that Braille Show Profile?
Yeah. Okay. One last item before we adjourn. I believe the convention is going to be in April in Burlingame. Mm-hmm. What's the date?
Does anyone have the dates?
Excuse me? What'd you say, Steve?
15th to the 18th, I think.
15th through the 18th. So we need. I need to. If someone can think of a speaker that we could get from Sacramento or Sanford. Usually we try to get somebody within the area, San Francisco.
You're welcome. We'll think about it.
Okay.
It's our area.
Okay. All right, and then you'll let us know. Okay. Yes.
Just before we close, there was something I was going to mention last night, and I forgot about it. When we were talking about the resolution, Linda, you're still here, right?
Yes.
And you're on the resolutions committee. Do you know if anybody is working on anything about the Freedom Scientific signed driver thing?
Oh, that's right.
No, we don't have nothing to do.
I don't think we have time to write anything now, but I'd like to mention to folks that there is an online petition going around, and there's a lot of concern being expressed about the Freedom Scientific doing a typical Freedom Scientific thing.
Yeah.
They want to have a proprietary signed driver for the Braille displays. So that it'll only work with their products, and there are a lot of people who are concerned about the Freedom Scientific also has typically had the policy of not telling the manufacturers of Braille devices how to make them compatible with their product. So I don't have enough knowledge about it myself, but I just wanted you to all watch for that. And I suspect that there may be, by the time of the spring convention or whatever, there may be something going on this. It's sort of brewing. And it's on top of Freedom Scientific's, as I say, their usual behavior, like suing their competitors for patents that are, questionable suits and all that.
But yeah, they lost.
Yeah, which is just as well.
Okay. What time is it? Do you have a time, anybody?
8 o'clock.
Okay. Before, is there anything else before we adjourn?
I know one or two people who should be here. I was trying to urge them to come. I thought that they would be good officer material eventually if they join, if I persuade them to join, then who would they go to?
John Ross.
Okay.
And he'll put him on the the roster. Anybody who hasn't paid their dues, give them to John. They're $20 a year. 10 goes to BRL, and the 10 goes to BRLC. BRL is the ACB organization, and then we're the affiliate. Okay, I'm going to give us 2 minutes so that before we adjourn, I just want to say that I'm going to give us 2 minutes so that we can get our speaker up here, and anybody who wants to do last minute Braille Challenge collection or dues can come up here to pay them for John. So John's up front. So give each other 2 minutes. All right. So. Would someone like to entertain a motion that this meeting be...
Move.
Keith moved. I need a second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. I'd like to welcome you all to our BRLC speakers meeting. And last convention, we were trying to think of a theme for our speakers meeting. And Roger, being the humorous person with a wonderful wit, piped up and said, "Is there Braille in Fresno?" So this is what the theme is, and this is what we're going to talk about today. And we have a speaker here named Janine Holtz. She taught Braille many years ago, and she's gone on to other things. But she has taught Braille, and we would like to welcome Janine Holtz, and she will talk a little bit about Braille in Fresno. Janine, take it away.
Hello, everyone. It's an honor to be here. Yay. And to hear about all the things going on with the BRLC. Yay. I was asked to come and speak about my experience teaching Braille and also what is being done here in Fresno in regard to promoting Braille. And I think what I'll just go ahead and do is to start about why I have a passion for Braille and why I see the importance of it. I studied to be a teacher. I have a VI credential to teach children or adults with visual impairment, and thought that I would be in a classroom. But as it turned out, I was working at the Valley Center for the Blind teaching Braille for about 3 years. And then while I was doing that, I started a ministry for people with disabilities at my church. And that started to require a lot more time than what I had while I was teaching Braille. So now I'm full-time doing the ministry at my church. And we do provide Braille there. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about my passion for Braille and about the benefits of knowing Braille and as I see it. And one is for reading and writing skills. Computers are great, but there's a lot of things missing in the process of learning by just using computers. And being able to have text on a page to follow and see the structure of the English language is very, very important. And so I see that as part of the importance of Braille. Also, the learning modalities. We've got our primary learning modalities being the visual, the auditory, and the tactile or kinesthetic, which are two different ones. And when you don't have the visual learning modality, then that leaves you with the others. And if you just access auditory, but your strength is tactile or kinesthetic, then it's much better if you have a venue to use that learning modality. And so if you combine that with the auditory, maybe using computers or CDs or RFBND or your talking book libraries for cassettes, that's great. But being able to actually read with your fingers is another way to access and be able to memorize and learn. And that is because of the way that the brain works. Everyone's brain works differently. And so maybe one person's strength would be another person's weakness. But at the same token, everyone should be given a chance to learn in their primary way. And so in order to provide students with the ability to learn the most, it's good to promote Braille. Also, learning or having Braille as an accessible form of education is allows the user to have the same print as everyone else in the same class, as the print that everyone has in the classroom. And you can follow along. I've in college used way back when used the Braille and Speak, and listening to the Braille and Speak while you're listening to the teacher and the comments of the other students and trying to, it's just too much. And it works, but it's just not optimal. So to be able to have Braille and have the paper just like everyone else is a benefit. And another thing is that Braille allows for instructions in spelling and formatting paragraphs and editing and learning how to do those things. And so that's another reason why I feel it's important that we have Braille. Also, Braille allows for the selection of a book. You can just pick a book and sit and quietly read, and you don't have to have any other equipment. You don't have to be able to plug it in. You can sit and read quietly wherever you're at. You can take it on the bus and listen and and read it. And so it's a wonderful way. I used to read with my without a magnifier. I used to read with my eyes, and then I was reading Braille, and then I got some vision back, so now I read Braille sometimes, but I also use a magnifier. And so being able to just sit and read a book is a wonderful thing. And so it's important for kids nowadays and adults who are adventitiously blinded to get an opportunity to do that, either to learn to do that or to do that again, as they did when they could see. So I taught adults who are adventitiously blinded, and it was exciting and fun to see the students be able to take what they were learning and apply it to moving forward in their lives and not stagnating in the change. And so I would try to be very encouraging to the students and let them know that they're learning a code that's going to help them to move forward instead of be stagnant and become dependent. It's a means of becoming and maintaining their independence by having Braille, because they can label things and they can, I'll talk a little bit more about that. And then also being helping them to understand the benefits of learning this new skill, because there are many, many benefits to being able to read and to be able to identify what you have, your clothes and your files and your bills and things like that. Oh, sorry. Oh, wow, that's loud. Okay, sorry. Okay, let me start again. No, just kidding. Hi. No worries. Glad you came. Okay, so and letting the students know that Braille is not something that makes them more disabled or more blind, or people have the most interesting ideas about what it looks like to be a Braille reader. But in actuality, knowing Braille indicates literacy and competence and independence. And so it's very important for the people who are used to reading with their eyes and are trying to adjust to the visual impairment to be able to do that. So some people do view it as a negative, but they can just letting them know that they can keep their independence and keep their privacy. And I know for all of us who are visually impaired, that's one of the most terrible things to lose is your privacy. And so protecting it is so important, and being able to identify which bills you have, what the receipts are, how much money you have in your account, things like that, without having to ask somebody, is of great importance. And so when I taught the students, I wanted to make sure that they knew that this wasn't just for reading books, but it was also for maintaining their independence, so they could label their files that they had print on. Now they could put a Braille Dymotape label on. They could label their bills, and they could also make lists that they needed. That also they could keep a calendar and be able to write down when they have an appointment, and also be able to read to their grandchildren again, because my students were older and they had grandchildren, and so to be able to read to them again meant a lot. Also, they can keep a journal that no one else can read. And also to make reminders to themselves and to keep track of, like I said, of their finances. And so it's a wonderful thing to be able to write down your own information and keep it safe. So as soon as they have mastered the reading, I like to give them fun things to do with it. If it's mastering uncontracted Braille, then so be it. Maybe that's all they wanted. For some people, they just wanted uncontracted Braille so that they could label things and make jot quick notes or make their grocery list. And so I would have them write up a joke or a Bible verse or something that was of interest to them, so that they could have it in written form of their very own. And so giving them assignments at the beginning, like writing their name and address, and actually being able to read that again means a lot when a person is first learning Braille. And so trying to keep Braille fun, and also stressing the functional aspects of Braille. And so let's see. So I think that's pretty much all of that I'll cover. But also, you know, as you guys know, labeling medications and how important that is to be able to identify the medication. And yes, we all know that there are electronic devices and scanner type things, but to tell you the truth, not everyone can afford those. And once you're out of rehab, you know, you're on your own. And as we all know in California, the budget has been cut, and we're receiving people on SSI are receiving substantially less. And so Braille is very economical, and you don't have to pay hundreds of dollars to make your recipe file or have your address book. Okay, so Braille in Fresno. Well, actually, we don't have a lot of Braille in Fresno, unfortunately, but it is still taught in the schools. We do have a preschool here where pre-Braille skills are taught, and then in elementary school, it is managed as usual in the IEPs on a case-by-case method. But there is still Braille, and the students are still taught Braille. There are students who've come from other countries and are learning English and Braille at the same time. And so that is still provided here. But also, we have a place in Fresno called the Valley Center for the Blind, and it's a place where people can go and take classes, and they do have a Braille class there. That's the place that I used to teach.
Did it used to be the Friendship Center?
Used to be the Friendship Center, yeah. And the Valley Center, it changed to the Valley Center because they wanted to focus more on the educational and independence aspect of being visually impaired, and not just like, oh, you come here and you make friends and people who volunteer are being friends with you. It's much more than that. So, yeah, that's why.
There's still friendship.
And there is still friendship, yeah. Yeah, that comes anyway. So,
there used to be a radio station here in Fresno called KFRE. Mm. And usually the FRE, the station meant Fresno. But I always told everybody that meant friendly Fresno.
Oh, okay. All right. So as it turns out, I just wanted to say something that was kind of fun while I was teaching Braille at the Valley Center. We had a gentleman there who had woodworking crafts. That was one of his specialties. And so are you guys familiar with the swing cell that APH sells?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a cell that opens up to simulate the way that the keys on the Braille writer are arranged, or on the Braille and Speak or the Braille Light. That is a very useful tool to help the students transition from reading to writing Braille. And so as it turns out, this gentleman, he actually started making swing cells and selling them for $10 each. So that was awesome, because he was also, you know, being the entrepreneur and helping us all out, because they're more expensive when you buy them from APH. You can also make, something that's kind of like a swing cell, using plastic eggs and an egg carton. If you cut it in half, and it sticks, but it doesn't open up like the swing cell does to mimic the Braille keys. Or you can use a muffin tin with tennis balls, and I don't know, somehow in my mind I always thought those things were kind of tacky, but that was my opinion. But
I used to use backboards.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Wooden type boards with a little boundary, little groove around the speech cell. Each cell had six holes in it.
Oh, okay. Nice. So then you made words on the board. You could make it, you put more than one letter. Is that what
you're... The advantage to that is that you can separate learning the Braille system from learning to feel those little tiny dots.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that was really exciting for me as the teacher, was to see that click that happens in people's mind. Because, you know, adventitiously blinded adults aren't used to using their tips of their fingers to read and get such detailed information. And so, you know, it's a struggle at the beginning. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to read this. And but then there comes a time, if they're practicing, where all of a sudden, boom, it's like their brain starts to realize, oh my goodness, this is good information. And it just changes everything for the student, and they start to really pick it up. And so that was exciting to watch that. So let's see. I think, and then also it was exciting to be able to present note takers and then let the students know that these are accessible, that it can be a justifiable item that they can get from rehab if they learn the Braille code. And so that combines technology with Braille. And so what we did was we used the Braille Series 1992. And I know there are others. I did purchase the Braille Connection, but I quit teaching shortly after that, so I didn't really get into using that curriculum. But so there is Braille in Fresno. I wanted to tell you that at my church, we do have a ministry for people with disabilities, all kinds of disabilities. And so what we do is to provide the things that everyone else gets in Braille and large print, and then if it's a book. Yeah, the bulletins. You know, whenever you come in and they hand you the information of what's going on and when and where and all that. Well, you know, it's frustrating to go. Well, you guys know, to go into a place and then you get a program in print. You're like, great, thanks. And then you have to go home and scan it or whatever in order to get it accessible. But so we provide that in auditory format. It's Campus Bible Church here on Maple and Gettysburg.
Oh, you're a big artist.
Huh?
You know, ADA doesn't cover churches, so it's good that the church is still trying to be inclusive.
So is that church in the Big Arts area?
No, actually, it's real close to Fresno State. Okay. It's down the street. It does, the further west you go. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
May I ask you how you became certified? Is there a need for... I want to be a Braille instructor when I retire, and I'm wondering how. Do I have to take the NLS course? Do I have to... I still don't know how to be certified.
Okay, to become a Braille teacher, which you can do, they have a program. Well, they have different ones around the United States, but there's one at Los Angeles State and one at San Francisco State, and it's a credential program. So if you have your degree, then it used to be that, and this is a story. It used to be a requirement to get the multiple subjects teaching credential prior to getting the visual impairment specialist credential. And so guess what? I went and got my multiple subjects teaching credential, taught sighted sixth graders, and they were graceful with me and let me practice teaching with visually impaired preschoolers at the elementary school. And so that was interesting and fun, and it was great to get a chance to kind of show the sixth graders that a person who's visually impaired is a person first. And yes, I was visually impaired, but there were other ways to provide the education for them than the visual ways. And so I went and did that. Then right after I got my multiple subject teaching credential, they changed it. And they said, you don't need that anymore. So anyway, then I went to San Francisco State and got my visual impairment specialist credential there, and which was a high-quality program. Amanda Hall-Lewick and Sandy Rosen are very excellent instructors. You can get a mobility credential there. You can get a visual impairment specialist to teach in the classroom. And in that, that's how you can get your there's a couple of Braille classes that you take that will help, you know, get... they do have some satellite classes, so you could check into that with LA State or San Francisco State and find out, because then you could go to the local university or wherever they're having the satellite.
Actually, they have seminar classes online also.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
So they do take seminar classes online, or you can commute once a week to, let's say, Cal State LA or Cal State San Francisco to take a Saturday class or whatever and do the online. Plus, they used to have and I don't know if you can do it, but you can actually live here in Fresno and take your class through a kind of correspondence type situation. But I don't know if they still do that.
Oh, yeah, that's through, can't think of it. They've been around forever. Hadley, thank you. Oh, I yelled in the microphone. Are you guys okay? Okay.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I just was like, oh, that's it. Okay, so just to let you guys know the range of what's happening at the church, if you're interested, we do have the Braille sermon notes. We have the Braille, the songs, the words to the songs in Braille, and also in large print, we have the sermon notes and the songs. And then also we have a section of the church library that's donated, that has items that are unabridged in cassette, and we have some Braille items in there for people to check out too. And so that, and then we also have a goal ball league that's 8 weeks in the spring, and it's so much fun. And it's growing because we just started it this year, actually. So we're anticipating in the spring, hopefully having more people involved. And so then we have other areas where we accommodate people with disabilities, because really what we want is for anyone who comes into the church doors to feel welcomed and receive the hospitality. And so we minister to families affected by disabilities by having a buddy program for the children, so that there's somebody there to help them to be accommodated in the class. And then we also have teens and adults with developmental delays. We have accommodations for them. And we also have listening devices for folks that are hard of hearing, the FM transmitters and receivers. And then we have a portable wheelchair ramp. If somebody wants to invite somebody who uses a wheelchair to their home and they have stairs, then the wheelchair ramp will accommodate 2 to 3 stairs. And so this is the reason that we do that is because we want to show the love of Jesus Christ. And that's, like you guys said, that's the way it should be. So thank you for having me today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll all be there this Sunday morning.
Okay.
And the other comment, though, seriously, are people with disabilities, I mean, it's good to have all these things, are they encouraged to be integrated into the body of the church?
Yes.
They have music ability.
Yes.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. You guys are taking that next step. It's all good and well to find these things, but they want to shine by the, by their sign and.
Yeah. You're right. And you know what? Actually, you're right. And that's spoken of in the Bible, talks about every believer receiving a spiritual gift, and we are expected to be using it, not just put it on the shelf. And so we have people that are helping, visually impaired people helping in the nursery. We have a gal who's in the choir. I myself am directing a ministry there at the church. And then we have others that have been encouraged to be parts of the church, and it's their decision to move forward on that. And so
you know, there's a national project for accessibility in churches. I believe it's out of the National Office on Disability in Washington, National Organization of Disability in Washington, D.C. And it's run by Judith Thornburg, the wife of former governor of Pennsylvania, attorney general. Mm. And maybe you guys should write it up. They should know about your disability. I think the project is called
Janine?
Okay.
Question.
Hold on. We have time for one question, and John has the floor to ask Janine the question.
Do you teach jumbo Braille at all?
Oh, yeah. Not anymore. But when I was at the Valley Center, yes, I did teach. I don't teach at the church. My hands are pretty full with managing the other programs.
Okay. We have time for one more question or comment, and then... Okay, Keith?
Janine, do you know, or I don't remember if you said you actually worked for Fresno City Schools, but what sort of materials did they use to teach beginning Braille and stuff like that to make the primary school kids?
Oh, you know what? Yeah. When I was at Walters, we did use a curriculum, and I can't think of what it was called. Patterns,
yeah,
I think.
Patterns.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. What I'd like to do now is
you know, Jeanine did a wonderful job, and I'd like to thank her for coming here. So there is Braille in Fresno, Roger.
Yes. Hey there.
Okay. They're even Braille. What? Okay. So what? Okay. Everybody, thank you all very much for coming.